crazy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT Crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in their DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll top forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios, overlooking Atlantic Station, and we're in the building, baby. As always, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Wednesday night, if you want to join the show, 404-603-8770. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And, of course, I got the rest of the crew in the building. Back from vacation. Spending a little time with Mickey, Donald, and all the characters at Disney. My main man, Hancock. Down there talking with Penny Hardaway. Han, what's happening?
What's up, big homie?
Everything good?
What's up, crew? Yeah, everything's good, man.
Yeah, vacation time.
Yeah, man, but they need to do something about the characters on the little kids. Because them little kids look terrified, man. They were walking them stormtroopers through there. Boogie wasn't happy.
Boogie wasn't happy.
Dude, he was like, look, man, y'all can have that. See, they look cool on TV.
Yeah.
But in real life, yeah, he wasn't happy.
Wasn't having.
Nah.
I feel you. And of course, back with us, D Wheelers on vacation, our main guy, another Memphis guy. I'm not sure how you feel about them Grizzlies.
They're the lottery.
They're the lottery.
Hey.
My main man, Jay Smooth, sixth man of the year. Jay, what's happening?
Oh, not much. What's up, crew?
What up, Smooth?
Smooth.
Glad to be back, man.
There you go. So, Memphis is in the lottery.
Yeah.
I think they second right now.
Yeah.
Second most ping pong balls.
Yeah, hopefully it stays that way.
So, still looking for Bagley, right?
Of course. There's talk about Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen him. I know he plays in the second best basketball league in the world, supposedly, allegedly, the Euro League, but I can only go with what I've seen, and Marvin Bagley is what I've seen. So
you don't think Aiden is gonna displace him?
If we can move away from Marc Gasol, possibly, but Gasol's contract is so hefty that I'm sure a lot of people won't want to take it on. But I don't know if you can find a way to play him. Cause see, we tried this in 2009 with Hashim, the bus, the beat.
That was a different animal.
Right, right. And, you know, like you said, Aiden is supposedly the best big man prospect in the last 20 years. And, hey, why not?
I'm just wondering. I don't know if they're going to bypass that big guy, man.
Yeah.
If they have a chance to get him.
It's time to move on from Gasol and Conley, but contracts are just too big.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, the man behind the glass dropping them beats, our main guy, G Money. What up, G?
Yo.
Bunny.
And of course, you can follow us on streaming live SRT Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. You can also go to the website srtradio.com to listen to the show. And if you're in the car, you can just turn to the real 1100 AM on the AM station. And we're also on iHeart. If you're an iHeart fan, you can just go to iHeart and search Real 1100 AM, and you can find us there as well. Make sure you follow us on social media at SRT Radio. We got a lot to talk about as Bo Bell will be joining us in the second hour of the show, but we got some hot news that we're going to talk about tonight. Also, our final NBA power rankings. And next week we'll do our awards. So make sure we stay tuned. Just stay tuned for that. We got some other local news. Shout out to Ray. Shout out to Dez. What up?
Mighty Mark.
Second hour, we're definitely going to be talking NBA. And we got to talk some draft. I got a draft for the Falcons. Or draft pick. Actually, turned into the whole draft there. I just do not understand. It is unreal about the drafting of the Falcons. So we go definitely talk about that. We got some LeBron news. Some Isaiah Thomas, not the 5'6" one, the 6 foot one.
The real.
Yeah, the Zeke. he made some comments early in this week, so we definitely got to talk about that. that can seem kind of salty, but you know, the person who replied to him probably seemed kind of salty as well. So definitely got to talk about that. And we got some NBA playoffs that are going on tonight. Win or go home. And that's gonna be interesting. So all the Hawks fans, I'm pretty sure you're pulling for Minnesota tonight. So am I. And we go surprise Bo Bell with some rapid fire questions. So make sure you stay tuned for the rapid fire. It's gonna be coming on later on in the show, in the second hour. But for now, it is now time to get into some hot news.
Blazing. Scorching. Red hot. This is why I'm hot. It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News. Sponsored by our good old friends over at the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go on over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town. It is verified. Maceo can verify that. Hancock can verify that. Jay Smooth can verify that. It is the best place. And don't forget, any meal, $25 or more, you get the SRT discount. Just make sure you mention the SRT discount when you're spending $25 or more. So, we're jumping into this hot news in hand. We talked about this earlier, last couple of weeks. The Masters, Patrick Reed won the Masters. Kind of going away, other than some Jordan Spieth put on a pretty good show, shot a 64 the last day. But Tiger shot a plus one.
Yeah, he finished 30, over par for over the par. For the tournament,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Had showed some good signs in the final round, but his driver let him down the first 3 days. And that when you play a course like Augusta National, you have to put the ball in certain places in order to score. And what he was doing was actually the first three rounds hitting the ball to areas where he couldn't score. And in golf, you have to get to the green to score. So even if his second shot got him into the green, it was at a point where there was no way to make birdie. He was basically going to two putt, or like he did a lot of times, he bogeyed. So
let's talk about this one particular incident. Go ahead. And I can remember this. His second shot was 92 feet yards away.
Mm-hmm.
And normally that's not an issue for Tiger. He hits the ball over the green, over the hole,
right,
past it.
And it flew into the shrubbery. Yeah. But what you had to watch where the lie was. It might have been closer to the pin.
Uh-huh.
But he did not have a lie. He was lying in the rough.
Right.
So you have to kind of be able to judge your flight of the ball. Actually, 92 yards for him, he probably didn't want to be there. You want to be able to take a full swing every time you're approaching the green. So there can be a too short a distance. Exactly, because you're between clubs. And in this respect, not only was he maybe between clubs, he didn't have a clean lie. So when he hit it, he hit what's called a flyer, which flew the green, hit it to the backside, went into the woods, basically.
Yep.
They found the ball. But, you know, there again, I'm saying, he scrambled. And he just did not He was just not comfortable with the driver until, like I said, the last round. Last round, he hit the ball down the fairway most of the round. He probably hit about, 7 or 8 fairways, if I'm not mistaken. So that way he was doing well, and then his approach shot into the green was fine. I think he finished for the round. I think he was 3 under for that day, for the final round, which is good. But he couldn't put any momentum together. He couldn't capitalize on the par fives, which is where he feasts at Augusta.
Yeah.
And he could not capitalize on those. You know, those were givens back when Tiger was Tiger. You could pretty much say, okay, if he has 4 par fives, he's going to be at least 1 under and possibility to get a couple of eagles during this whole tournament. And that just didn't happen in those rounds. So
yeah,
he put himself in bad situations. But you have to remember, this is a guy still coming back from back surgery. So for him to at least do some positive things, you have to look at it. Other guys that weren't playing as well would have probably been 7 to 8 over. And he managed to keep it together. He fought back in the first round and got it back to 1 over, you know, and then blew up again in the second round. So, you know, he just could never get any momentum. I still think he's still struggling to find his, you know, what he's trying to find his gear or find his comfort zone. And I don't know if that's going to happen this year. And I don't know if it'll ever happen, but we know we'll never see the 2000 Tiger.
Right.
But at least, you know, he's competing now, so we'll see what happens.
The question real quick, though, we know the back surgeries. He said he felt fine. He said he's feeling fine over the last 3 tournaments physically.
Mm-hmm.
But is it more mental now than Tiger? Because
it's hard.
It used to be that where Tiger mentally, you know, he worked out with Navy SEALs a lot.
That's where he hurt his back, too.
You're right. Worked out with Navy SEALs. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, he worked out to where mentally he didn't have to hear the whispers. He was able to get through the whispers and things of that nature. But now coming back, trying to get back on this, is it mental now that he's actually listening to the whispers?
I don't think it's mental, Harris. You know what I think it is? I think he's trying to be a softer, gentler Tiger. And to me, that's not the way. It's like Russell Westbrook trying to have Steph Curry's personality.
Okay.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Right.
Russ can't play unless he's angry. And Tiger can't play unless he's a butthole.
Right.
Unless he's cussing and slamming stuff and not, you know, giving that mushy side. You know, right. that you know, hey fans and all that kind
right,
of
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
Be who you are. If he goes back to just being who he is, I'm not talking about the extracurricular. I know that's a good, funny story with the women and all. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about being focused solely on this tournament and not worried about how I look, how I'm perceived. Just go out and play golf right. The way he knows how to play. And just be a butthole to everybody that he's playing against. We can be friends after the game, after the round. But I think, you see him laughing. That never happened. Back when Tiger was Tiger, he never socialize with people during the tournament and,
right.
you know, worried about, hey, fans and giving. No, it didn't matter because it was about winning.
Cutthroat.
Right. And he has to get back to that and not worry about how he's perceived as softer, gentler Tiger. I want Nasty Tiger back.
Right.
Because we saw special stuff with Nasty Tiger. So I just think he needs to go back to being who he is and not worry about this perception, because even in the last round, if you watch, he may have been a little bit more jovial, but he was more focused. And, you know, I saw him slam the club on the bag a couple of times. That's the way he has to play.
Right. I got you. All right. Question number 2, Smooth. Andrew Luck said he hadn't thrown a football still. And my question is, does the Indianapolis Colts have a concern with Andrew Luck? If you were a fan, would you have a concern with Andrew Luck?
There should be some concern. He openly admitted, it was earlier this week, I think on Monday, he came out and said that he pretty much rushed the process. He didn't trust the process like the Sixers do. And, you know, it's led him to where he is now. So his rehab hasn't gone well. It hasn't been handled properly. And as a result, he can't, or he hasn't picked up a football and tried to throw. But I think if you're the Colts as an organization or the Colts fan, you shouldn't be too concerned. It's still April. We still have a few months before they get into training camp. But Andrew Luck, this is a guy who was the successor to Peyton Manning, who was one of the greats of all time. When he's on the field, they're a playoff team. And right. I think when he's healthy, there may be only a handful of quarterbacks that you want more than him. The guy's that good. And I think a lot of it falls on the Colts as an organization also. They failed to protect him his entire tenure there. And, you know, it's shown in the injuries, the abdominal tears, the laceration, the shoulder injuries. He's had just an assortment of injuries that's been hard to come back from. And if you're a Colts fan or the organization, I would say, you know, be patient. Give him time. He will return to form, because if you ask the Cleveland Browns, that's the hardest position to find
exactly
in football. And I think if you have a guy who's shown that he's capable of going above and beyond, you should stick with him.
Your guy, Mason Rudolph, Luke, the guy from Washington
Luke
State.
Luke Falk.
If they draft one of them guys, is that saying something about where the organization is trying to go, or are they being safe, or things of that nature, in your opinion?
Well, neither one of those guys were elite prospects, at least from what I've seen. And you need a backup. You need a sufficient backup. Well, are either one of them the answer? I don't know. But I don't think you're going to, unless you're bringing Aaron Rodgers in there or, you know, a comparable talent, nobody's going to come in there and come in to Indianapolis and do what he did. But I guess they're just doing, taking certain measures to ensure
they do
that they have somebody.
Yeah.
Well, is Brissett the next if Luck isn't you know, the quarterback that he used to be, or if he's done?
He played decent.
Yeah, he was. He was serviceable at least. I mean, he can't be any worse than Luke Falk or Mason Rudolph. So why not stick with Jacoby Brissett until? Because I mean, they're not going to win a championship next year.
Right.
So why not continue to give him time? I mean, you already lost last year, so why not?
I got you. All right, question story number three. Eric Reed was known for kneeling with Kaepernick, and rumor has it that he has visited the Bengals and the possibility of signing with the Bengals. Do you see this as a slap to Kaepernick not being signed as well, or how do you see this situation? Or what does it say?
I don't think it, well, it's still connected to Kaepernick, but it's not a slap in the face to him, because apparently in that meeting, all they did was ask him if he was going to kneel again. And he wasn't willing to commit to saying, like, he has said in public, like, he's not going to kneel anymore, no more demonstrations.
Right.
But they kind of wanted to hear that from him in that meeting. And he was caught off guard by it, according to reports. And he didn't make a commitment to that. It's like, well, I should kneel again, you know, if it matters to you so much. So he walked out of that meeting. Well, not like just like walked out after that question, but he left that meeting with no contract offer.
Mm.
And there are also reports that he has said he will go back to the 49ers on a 1-year deal for the same amount he made last year, which was about $5.7 million. And that is something that the 49ers can't afford. So he may be headed back there on a 1-year deal. I think any team who decides to sign him, it would be on a 1-year deal. He has to, I guess, prove himself and not kneel so he can get a long-term deal. But as far as, like, him, if he's the possibility of him being signed compared to Kaepernick, it's not – I don't think there's really a connection, but I think teams are still they're still scared, or they still want to see how these other quarterbacks shake out. You know, they want to keep the sign these unproven players we've never even heard of. But I think all in all, the reason why Eric Reed is even getting a look is because everyone knows what Kaepernick looks like. Not a lot of people know what Eric Reed looks like.
Right.
So he's not as recognizable. So, you know, someone can bring him and they just know that he kneeled, and you have to look up pictures of Kaepernick to even see him.
And he plays safety, which is not a...
This is a backlash, man. This is a backlash from kneeling. This is just like a backlash, and I know we don't do politics.
Right.
But this is a backlash from Obama to Trump, the same way it's going with the NFL players. The NFL is making a statement to everybody who, you're going to do it our way. We're not going to have the kneeling, or you're not going to be in the league.
Yeah. It's even and on a...
that's just where it is.
On a smaller scale, with much, much lower stakes, Marquette King, of the Raiders punter, was cut.
Cut.
And without it seemed the only reason, without meeting John Gruden, and it seemed like the only reason he was cut is because he has a personality, and Gruden is the only person allowed to have a personality on the Raiders. And it's just a continuing narrative in the NFL to where it's all about the team, and if you put yourself out there, and if anybody knows your face and you don't play quarterback, that's a problem.
He's not having it. It's already been stated. It's not going to go this year.
I feel you.
You mess with the money.
Messing with the money.
And I'm telling you, the only way to get back is if all the good players say, we're not going out here Sunday. And they're not going to do that.
No, that's not.
All right, last story of the night. Conor McGregor was arrested and charged with assault as he went ballistic this past week. The question is, outside of that, do you think Floyd will unretire to go and battle Conor in UFC?
Me?
Yeah.
I think it's starting to be a possibility. At first, I thought no. But I think they're going to have to modify some of the rules in it because, if Conor puts his hands on him, he could hurt Floyd. But I think the UFC is going the way of the WWE. I think it's all about publicity. I'm serious because it's showmanship. I mean, Conor goes and throws a hand dolly through the window and breaks. If you watched it, it's just like WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever watched WWE, it was a page right out of that. It's all about publicity and getting stuff. I mean, they're pretty much almost one and the same now. It's all about what can you do outlandish enough to get interest,
right,
to get a big payday. Because think of the names now. You had Silva's out now, and what's the guy that was out on the PEDs? Bone Jones.
Yeah.
And so they're losing a lot of the big names that were there. Really, the only drawing card that everybody would know if you're not really
into
one
it.
Of those, yeah, is Conor. And you know, you lost the girl.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry, I don't want to call her. I'm sorry, I was sounding
Ronda Rousey.
So yeah, you lost her.
She's well, she gone. Went to WWE,
right? But and she was a big draw,
and she's drawing big
exactly.
in WWE.
So I mean, this thing now, I wouldn't be surprised if that was all a stunt.
Well, let me ask you this question, and Jay, you can come in. Floyd was in trouble this past week too.
Yeah, here in Atlanta.
He was in trouble as well. And Conor was in trouble. Now the talks have started. So is this conspiracy theory, stage, plan?
Yeah, I think somebody got shot though.
Yeah,
so I don't know how much you want stage shoot.
Yeah,
I think that something's real there. But you know, I honestly think the Conor part of it with I wouldn't put anything past that. I think that's all a play. That thing with Florida's bodyguard, that probably was something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When somebody got hurt, somebody got shot.
All right, Smoke, what did you think about Florida and Conor hooking up with in UFC?
I would say follow the money.
Follow the money.
I mean, we all know Floyd Mayweather, he's financially driven. And if the dollar amount is high enough, I wouldn't be surprised to see them all in the ring with Conor. I don't expect him to win. I think, you know, will have similar results to what we saw in the boxing match, with vice versa, Conor will win. But Floyd at this point, I mean, he's in his 40s right now.
Is he that old?
Yeah, I think he's – Floyd is in his 40s. Well, I think at this point, it's all about collecting checks. I mean, it's always been about collecting checks for Floyd.
Right.
But, hey, why not? I mean, you can go in, you can take a loss if they somehow configure the rules to somehow work in his favor a bit. I still don't think he will win, but at the end of the day, Floyd wants that check just like we all do. So why not?
Yeah, I'm not paying for it this time.
No, I'm not even.
You're not paying for it.
Well, I didn't pay last time, though. I think I
caught
it on Firestick.
There you go. Might be available on Firestick.
All right, man. Let's go wrap up our hot news sponsored by the Big East Grill. But when we get back, we got to take a quick break. But when we get back, we got our NBA power rankings, our final one for the year. Make sure you keep it locked. Stay tuned. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on The Real 1100 AM.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM. Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's The Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker, and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Hi, my name is James Forrest. When I get my sports fix, I listen to the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew in The Real 1100 and srtradio.com.
It's this simple. What teams are playing the best and what player is playing the best? It's the SRT NBA Power Rankings.
All right, welcome back to Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM. And this is our NBA Rankings, NBA Power Rankings segment brought to you by Real Talk Tees. Visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to pick up yours today. All right, so this is the final week of our Power Rankings. And let me get my scoreboard here that we have our votes from our esteemed Sports Roundtable basketball experts. All right, so this week our top five teams. At number five we have the Utah Jazz. Oh, there's Hank. There. Yeah. Sorry. All right. At number five we have the Utah
Put
Jazz.
Put me on blast.
At number four we have the Cleveland Cavaliers. At number three, we have the Toronto Raptors. At number two, we have the Philadelphia 76ers. And at number one, we have the Houston Rockets. So Houston will end the season number one in our power rankings, but not unanimous. who didn't vote them number one? It was me. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I had Philadelphia as number one. When you win 14 straight games,
15 now.
They're now 15 without, and a lot of them without Embiid. Just shows how well they're coached and actually how good Ben Simmons actually is.
Wonder who said that.
They played in 15 games, 13 teams that was under 500. But go ahead.
In the words of my man Slick Money, you got beat who on your skin. Slick Money, love you, baby.
Go ahead, G.
And our top three MVP candidates during the season. At number three, we have Anthony Davis. At number two, LeBron James. And at number one, even though it is not unanimous, it's James Harden.
How AD get back in the top three?
I put him in there myself.
Yeah, I think I'll
do that. Ain't nothing against, but go ahead, G.
All right, so wanted to mix it up a little bit this week, kind of maybe a little bit of a preview of our NBA awards next week. So I'll start with you, Hancock. Who was the most surprising team to you this season as far as how they performed?
Yeah, I had to go with Utah, man, because nobody saw this in the beginning. I mean, for them to get, what, they're number four right now?
Three.
They're three in the West, playing with a rookie that was drafted after a lot of named rookies that we thought would be better. For this guy to come in and push this team after
make
losing
sure
Gordon
it,
Hayward.
Make sure you say his name, please.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell. No doubt about it. I mean, I pulled him on Twitter. If you follow me, you see me. I say he's baby Westbrook.
Yeah.
He's a beast. But
and you also broke the story about how they actually drafted him.
Exactly.
So give yourself some props on that.
You know, I'm always ahead of the game. That's what everybody tells me. You too early. I guess I was a little early on him, but he's come into fruition and done the things that need to be done to get this team where they are. Losing Gordon Hayward, you know, trading
Rodney Hood,
you know, those type of players, not having, what's the tall, Stifle Tower for most of the time. He's getting hurt. And to still push this team into the playoffs in a legit playoff seeding.
And Jackie
not just barely making it, but getting it.
Jackie said on Facebook, don't forget they beat the Warriors by 40 last night.
Yeah, but take that with a grain of salt. but they beat them by 30 and 40, but keep your salt ready. Because they weren't interested and haven't been interested since they weren't going to win, this being Golden State. They haven't been interested.
They had nothing to play for.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, be careful with that.
All right. I was just
responding. Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Jack. You're right. But Utah is my surprise team because them, Portland a little bit, but at least Portland had some veteran players that you knew would do things in the NBA. But for, you know, Utah to come from where they came with losing players and getting this unheralded rookie, I got to go with Utah.
All right, H.O., same question. Most surprising team this year?
Well, obviously Utah was an easy choice. But I'm going to go with Portland. Portland and Utah playing tonight for that number three seed. They're playing at Portland. You got two guys in the backcourt, C.J. and Dame, both from small, small schools, Lehigh and Weber State.
Right. Bet they can't tell me what state they're in.
Yeah, probably can't.
I would know the answer.
And the thing about it is, they lost Crab. They got Evan Turner. Mm-hmm. Nurkic, you know, he has started to come along. And the other, Miles Leonard.
He's pretty much relegated to the bench.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you look at their team, you're saying, well, they really kind of lack wing play, okay? In which we all know in the NBA, it's a lot of – it's wing play and three-point shots. And they don't have a lot of wing play. And you're talking about McCollum at 6'3", and Dame at maybe 6'3", as well in the backcourt. But they have shown this year with coming from small schools, they play with a chip on their shoulder. And for them to be in the number three spot – at this point of the year, playing and vying for the number three spot is remarkable. I had no idea that Portland would be, before the season, 6, 7, 8 maybe. And that was probably it. Dane was probably going to probably do everything he could to get in an all-star game, you know, and things of that nature. But I would say Portland because of what they have and what they do, what they don't have to be in the West vying for a number three spot over San Antonio, OKC, and the Pelicans and things of that nature. So I would go with Portland.
All right. Jay Smooth, who's your most surprising team this year?
For me, this one is a bit unorthodox, but I'll go with the Indiana Pacers. They've been a surprise to lose a guy of Paul George's caliber. I mean, this is a guy who's probably, you know, depending on who you ask, no less than what, a top 10 player in the league. And to bring in, you know, Nate McMillan and Victor Oladipo, who I thought was a complete afterthought last year.
Yeah.
He was with OKC and
But Russ has that way of doing it.
Right. He does. He does. And I mean,
he don't play well with us.
He doesn't. And it obviously it didn't work out with Vic. But Victor Oladipo, he's come to Indiana and he's improved in nearly every statistical category. I mean, his points per game are up to 23. He made the All-Star team this year. And surprisingly, a lot of people, we had talked about it, but the East has been surprisingly better this year. And Indiana, they currently sit in fifth place behind Toronto, Boston, Philly, Cleveland. And I don't expect them to be Cleveland in the first round. But for them to win nearly 50 games this year.
Yeah.
That's... when no one thought they would, just the same as, you know, Utah. I think that says a lot about Nate McMillan specifically and, you know, the job that he's done.
All right.
All right. And Jay, I'm coming right back to you with the next question. Who's the most disappointing team you've seen this year?
Oh, I talked about them last week. The Minnesota Timberwolves. I've been on record several times saying that I think Minnesota should move on from Tom Thibodeau. I just don't think he's a great fit. Defensively, he made his name as a defensive specialist. And Minnesota, they don't play a lick of defense. Jimmy Butler being out for the last, what, few weeks or a month, that hurt them tremendously. They were maybe, what, third in the standings when he left?
Yeah, third or fourth at least. Yeah, right there.
And he dropped out. But I guess my problem with Minnesota has always been I felt that they had enough talent to still remain relevant in the playoffs, in the playoff race. And now, with the loss tonight, they could be out. Is that correct?
Yeah,
they could be out tonight.
Win
so,
lost you gone.
Yeah. Carl Anthony Towns, you know, he's ascending to be, I think, one of the better players in the league. Andrew Wiggins, you haven't got the most out of him. Jamal Crawford, who knows how old he is? He's probably, what, 40 years old? But, I mean, he can still play. Jeff Teague is serviceable. The Minnesota Timberwolves have a wealth of talent, and Tom Thibodeau is not gotten the most out of their talent. I mean, we have an amazing coach right here, Bo Bell. We can give Bo Bell that job. I bet Coach gets more out of it, well, than Tom Thibodeau. But Tom Thibodeau has been very disappointing. The Timberwolves have, and that's it, G. That's
what I mean. If they kept Sam, what's it?
Sam Mitchell,
they would probably be in a better situation.
Possibly.
Something to think about, though.
Yeah.
Because he can coach.
Yeah.
I think he's in that Dwayne Casey situation where
he teaches the young guys how to be professionals and how to play basketball. And Thibodeau, to me, is more of a what we've
Sergeant
seen
Carter.
Well, what we've seen recently in these style of coaches is that they're defensive coordinators. Like, he broke his bones and had made his bones with Celtics being Doc's defensive guy.
Yeah.
And that's how he got his really acclaim. He went to Chicago and ran them into the ground. I mean, all those guys came out, Noah, and he pretty much shortened Noah and
Derrick Rose's
careers by just running them in the ground. So, I mean, I just don't think that certain guys, maybe, like you say, maybe he's just not the head coach material.
Right.
Maybe needs to just be in that defensive mode.
Yeah, I agree.
It's also disappointing that he tried to get the band back together. He brought in, brought back Rose. He traded for Butler.
He got Taj Gibson.
And it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, they got some adults on the team, but, you know, maybe
you
not
just got to
right
get into the party. If they get a pass into the party, who knows this week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they don't, so we can get a first round pick.
Well, you want them to get in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so my bad.
Yeah, you want them to get in.
Yeah. All right, H.O., most disappointing team to you this year?
Well, actually, I got a disappointing player.
Or player, yeah. The question, or team.
Because this player exceeds far than a team, and that's Chandler Parsons.
Ding, ding, ding.
$94 million.
Ding, 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 ding.
$94
million.
Otto Porter money.
Chandler Parsons?
Exactly.
I'm in the car with you on this one.
$94 million, and he averaged 8 points a game.
Really? I didn't know he averaged that.
Well, maybe they skewed.
Yeah, that has to be. I don't think that's right.
That's too many.
Yeah, that's too many.
Hold on. He's 6'10", right? Or yeah. 6'9", something like that. 8 points a game, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. That's his stat line for $94 million.
And just one thing, I hate to interrupt you. The Grizzlies have all of their money tied up in 3 players.
Oh, yes,
and 2 of them didn't even play this year.
Yeah.
They played, but very few games. Mike Conley and the guy you just mentioned. I don't even want to say his name.
Right. Where's Andre Ingram when you need him?
I'd rather have him.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot cheaper.
So
well, the Grizzlies already got their G League. They brought back from Tucker, Georgia, Marshawn Brooks.
Yeah, yeah, I read that.
So they, you know, that's their Andre Ingram. But
yeah,
it's definitely and I think, aren't they about to be sold too?
No, he's actually going to keep the team.
Yeah, right. Okay. I read
he's selling it like a piece.
Well, Steve Kaplan and
it was a very,
Doug Strauss. Yeah. They were two of the minority owners. They wanted to make a play for the team, but Robert Pierre, he's going to keep him.
Yeah,
okay,
that's what I figured. So, Chandler Parson, the most disappointing. Obviously, it's not even a team.
Who was it that like tweeted about him, like that he made that much money and he had made an All Star team?
It was somebody from Dallas, wasn't it?
Might have been me.
Yeah. Jackie on Facebook said her two are J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson. Most disappointing.
Well, Tristan got a little.
Tristan did it to himself.
Yeah, and he also got. Well, we're not gonna start no rumors.
Ain't no rumor.
We saw him. Well, anyway, go ahead, G. Yeah.
All right, only person in disbelief is Cole. Why she can't see it.
So, Hancock, your most disappointing team or player this year?
The Washington Wizards. I almost called them the Bullets.
Were they playing? Well, yeah, now the Bullets played a little better.
It's the Wizards, man. I know they had injury with Wall, and then they had that little spurt where they played pretty well without him and supposedly sharing the ball or whatever. But this team now we've been waiting on for about 3 years, them and Toronto both. And we've been saying, okay, this is the year, whatever. And the expectations going into this playoff really aren't high. So maybe without that added pressure of, okay, this is your year, maybe they'll do something. But I was kind of looking for them to vie for the second or third in the East this year.
We talked about it because we talked about at least 3 or 4, I know for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. They should have been second or third.
Yeah.
And for them not to be in there and really put pressure on the top two, you know, teams, especially with Boston facing what they faced going into the year, and then Kyrie being hurt later on in the year and Middens being limited and whatever, you would think with the nucleus that Washington had, they would have been able to push them and push even Toronto for the, you know, that number one seed. But for them to, what are they down into the
eighth spot.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that's a disappointing position for them to be in. So that's my team, Washington Wizards.
Now, how much blame do you actually give to, like, Otto Porter?
I don't blame Otto Porter. I blame the organization for giving him
under me. And then Grunfeld?
Yeah, I just don't understand Washington. How you yeah. pay players.
Ernie?
I don't see you play. I would not pay Parsons, Otto Porter, you know,
Bazemore,
Conley, all of them. They're $900 million players. They're just not. And that's why I think some teams, you put all this money into these guys and you end up hurting from it. Even Portland, when they paid everybody that year when they had that big balloon money from the players union with that big agreement they had. And it's kind of hurting them in this point because they're stuck in some contracts that they really can't do anything with.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't go out and get that player that they need. If they wouldn't have paid all this money, look what they could have played for Paul George to come in and put him in that third, in that wing position.
No doubt. Yeah, we talked about that.
I mean, for them to strap themselves, and I know the cap looked like it was going to escalate and they pulled that back a little bit, so that hurt a little bit. But, you know, like I said, paying Otto Porter and I don't think Brooks is a good coach. I think that was a bad step. You saw what he did in Oklahoma City. So why would you think he would go and do anything different in Washington?
They was trying to make a play for KD at that time.
Yeah, well, like I said, another bad move. It's KD working. So, like I said,
trying to get organizations KD to come
like
home.
That continue to falter, you know. So, Washington again. That's my team.
All right. That will do it for our NBA Power Ranking segment. Next week, we'll have our second annual SRT NBA Awards. And tune in to listen to that.
There you go. Z, appreciate it, man. All right, and some other news. The Hawks finish 24-58. The GM said they will take the best available in the draft. I don't even know what that means.
Well, you know, you tell them what you said, and then, I don't know. Go ahead.
What does best available mean? Like, what does that really consist of? Best available what?
I think what everybody says is the best player.
Yeah, the consensus.
You know, and that's what happens is that you get slotted on this guy's he's the one you can't pass on, and if you do, this is what's going to happen. But we've seen that not work out with Greg Oden.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen players that can't miss be duds. Yeah. To beat. You know, why would you
Brown, what's his name? Kwame Brown.
Yeah, but it gets to be a consensus.
Ola with Candy?
Yeah, this is what I talk about a lot of stuff that the sports writers start to say, and it just becomes the narrative, and everybody just piles on it, and it gets to be, you know, that, yo, we can't go away from this because everybody's saying it.
Right.
You know, and it gets that way on everything from voting to players to whatever.
I think a part of it also is that, okay, the Hawks have the third worst record. And if the top two players that we hear about are Ayton and Bagley, they might not have a chance at either of them. So who do they take? Some draft boards I've seen Michael Porter Jr. I know HO suggested Trae Young.
Right.
So they could really, if they can't get either of those guys, it's kind of wide open for who they would take. So it's basically like the best fit or whatever they do with Bazemore or Schroeder going forward. But I mean, it makes sense to take the best player available, but I guess who knows what their scouting is thinking? What is the team actually thinking they want to do? Do they want to get someone who can bring people to the arena or just someone they could build around a decent player?
They need to say that. I mean, what is the best player available based on what? What is your direction?
Thank you.
And that's the whole thing. What is the direction of the team?
Who's the fit also?
Yeah, who's the fit?
Because, you know, we've seen it in the past. This is why I think Popovich this year has done a masterful job of coaching, because he took L.A., LaMarcus Aldridge.
He apologized.
He was trying to make him fit what the Spurs do. And that's not why he was successful. This is the same thing we talk about, and I know I'm going off subject a little bit when I talk about Mike Vick. Why make him a pocket passer? That's not what he is. You getting him because he's exciting, getting out of the pocket, making plays. LaMarcus Aldridge is a post-up, turnaround, jump-shooting player. Get him the ball on the post and let him work. And you just have to be able, and Pop was able to say, look, I got to fit the offense around what he does well. And that's when you find out who's a good coach, because everybody can't run and do. He has to play the way he plays to be effective.
Sound like you sound like you pubbing your coach of the year. All right, Bobe, I know you wanted to say something. I know you wanted to say something about this situation. So the mic is yours. We're going to introduce you, obviously, in the second hour of the show. But go ahead and give me your thoughts.
Well, basically, the root. When I talk about basketball, I always look at the root of the problem. Everybody can see the obvious.
Right.
But the root is so many people involved with the organization that's not really basketball people. So
hello.
So in terms of making the evaluations on these players, right, they're getting it wrong so many times.
Yes.
That's why kids, the kid like Utah, they miss on him.
Yes.
And I can go down the line of the kids they missed on because they don't have quality people doing the evaluations. Right. And so I think it's going to continue to be lopsided in terms of who to draft or what to draft until they make the right decision of putting the right people in place that understand, one, how to evaluate based on the necessities of that team.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you hear Schlink talk on the telecast the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
And he kind of broke down the Golden State situation on when they drafted Harrison Barnes,
right,
and then went with Azeele because they needed a big.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, well, we'll just go with the best available. And that's when they found Draymond Green in the second round. And see that, but that's being able to evaluate what's your team and how you're going to structure. And now having him in the fold might help because he has a proven track record.
Well, we're going to see.
We'll see if he was making the decision or was somebody else.
Exactly. Other news. Free Meek Mill. You would not believe who came to the forefront of this. And let's just make this quick. Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, supports and says that Meek Mill, he's a really good guy. My whole point is, how do you even know Meek Mill? Robert, how do you know he's a good guy?
Robert Kraft date 20-year-old women. So he out there in the business.
He went to visit him in prison. Yeah. And a couple other players have too. I don't think they played for the Patriots, but a couple other players have
gone to visit him. But was it sincere? A sincere visit?
He's in different circles though, Harris. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, he do different things.
And who did he give $1 million to?
I don't know about that one.
Before the election?
Oh, well, definitely.
Okay, well, that's
my, all across the board.
Yeah, that's my point. He all over the place.
He all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know.
Hey.
Do you think he did it to troll the Eagles owner? Because we haven't heard anything about the Eagles owner going to visit me.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Westbrook said he's tired of people talking about he passed stats.
His own teammates talking about it.
I mean,
is
he too sensitive?
But it's a known out there that he goes and they back off and let him get boards.
From the free throw line.
Yeah, you can see it.
Carmelo.
I mean, he got a 7-footer down there. He's backing off, letting this guy come in here. I mean,
when he's 16 rebounds away from,
he'll have those in midway second quarter.
Carmelo made they talked to Carmelo about it, and it seemed like he was making, like, oh, you know, we all know. It's just a joke. But I'm not so sure from Carmelo's perspective that,
Melo don't
that he's
have
okay
loot.
With it.
Yeah, see, Melo don't have nothing to lose. Melo got his.
Right.
But all those other little minions on the team not going to say nothing.
Yeah, I agree. The rookie beef. Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell. Ben Simmons said he's obviously the rookie of the year. A couple of days later, Donovan Mitchell wears a hoodie that showed the definition of what a rookie is, and it stated a person that plays in his or her first year. And that was the key. The first year. So it was a big time troll. And they are beefing with, well, the Twitter beef or the social media beef is real now. Essentially, I think they will both get co-rookie of the year.
Wow.
In my opinion. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
You just can't go wrong with either one. When, how can you be mad? 94 was Jason Kidd and Grant Hill. I mean, you can't go wrong with either, but... Han, do you think the beef is?
You have to remember that T-shirt was the definition as according to Adidas. If you watch it, you had the T-shirt.
Yeah, you got Adidas.
I think Ben Simmons is a Nike guy. I think this is good publicity for both camps.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to, you know, these two athletes could push these products up even more. They'll both probably have signature shoes here soon. And, I think it's good natured. I don't think we worry about a Biggie Tupac situation.
Right.
You know, nobody be shooting.
No. Right.
So, you know, it's good back and forth, and it can only enhance a rival. We need some rivalries in the NBA.
Right.
So if this pushes something to where there's another rivalry that's budding, more power to it. I'm sure the powers that be are steady pouring gas on it. You know, let this go.
Yeah, I agree with you both. It's great for the NBA. And when was the last time we had a rookie of the year race this exciting outside of what, sure, LeBron and Melo, maybe? And that was, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
So the NBA needs this. And that's one thing the NBA does so well, much better than the NFL. This is the most thrilling rookie race that I've seen.
Yeah. going down to the wire. Yeah. All right, let's go from the rookie beef to a good, great story. Andre Ingram, 10-year veteran in the G League/D League, finally gets the call up to the Lakers for the last two games. Was doing the exit interview, Magic. They call him Buck. Buck walks in along with Rob, and he knew something was going on. What a thrill that could be.
Awesome.
A dream. Kind of remind me of the Rudy story, but, you know, that's my thing.
Rudy was all sides.
But he was outside.
Yeah, Rudy was all sides.
But he goes on to score 19. He didn't even miss a shot in the first half.
Wow.
19 points in a NBA debut.
Hollywood ending, baby.
Yeah.
Hollywood ending.
So I got to ask Bo Baird is, if he had been coming to Feetwork University, how proud would you have been?
Well, I'm proud anyway because everything that young man stands for.
Yes.
You know, because the substance of this young man was, 10 years in the D-League, his perseverance, and just to be patient with that whole process and to hang in there, and then all of a sudden he get a call up to the league and he get an opportunity to perform.
Yes.
At that level.
Yes.
Come on, man. So shout out to him, man. I would just like to meet him, man, because that's a great human being.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? That's a great human being.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at it bigger on a bigger scale because this guy, 10 years in the D-League, you know, he could have had an opportunity to go to Europe. A lot of guys jump out, go to Europe, and go play. He stayed. And so that perseverance, it's going to help him from an endorsement standpoint. He's going to get a lot of endorsements. And also, he's going to get a lot of TV situations that's going to help him. And also, it's going to be other teams that's going to be looking at him now.
Yeah.
Because he can shoot.
Yeah.
46% three-point shooter.
The all-time leader in the G League,
that's
G
crazy.
League history.
That's crazy. Wow. And here's the bigger piece. Here's the bigger piece. The Lakers knew what they was doing in terms of the publicity. You know what I mean? Bringing a guy in like that, you know, underdog. Everybody liked the underdog.
Right.
Right.
To come in. You saw how he was cheering for this guy?
Yeah.
So it was, I got to give a shout out to them for the way that they handled that, man. And then after the game, they gave him the game ball.
Ball.
Awesome.
And more to anything, we just got it on Facebook. He actually teaches, tutors, physics. He's a math genius.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he teaches, he tutors online, middle school, high school kids, helps them with their physics and things of that nature. So he's not only pursuing his dream, he's giving it back as well. So again, you can't do nothing but give it up.
That's awesome.
For Mr. Ingram. He's been blessed. I will wonder how long most people would have stayed in that situation.
Some of the guys were talking about it on the NBA show, saying maybe 3-4 years they would have given it.
Yeah.
And then they probably would say, well, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
But, you know, one thing, you know, you got to give props. His wife stayed and he stayed. They stayed together through all this.
Yeah.
They showed the family walk out. And to persevere in not the NBA and still keep it together with, you know, kids and that was big. So,
yeah.
Kudos, my hat's off to them, you know, keeping that union together and persevering through everything they face. So,
absolutely. Yeah, another story that me and Han talked about, and I guess I was early on this. Quinn Cook signs a 2-year deal with the Golden State Warriors, and they release Omri
Caspi.
Yeah, Caspi, to make room for him on the playoff roster. So now he is going to finish the year with Golden State and play in the playoffs and a fully guaranteed contract for next year. Coming out of Duke undrafted 2015, won a championship there, but didn't get drafted, but bounced around the G League. Didn't have to wait 10 years, but he persevered to get the first player in NBA history to go from a two-way contract to a fully guaranteed NBA contract.
Yeah. And it lined up for him perfectly. With Steph being hurt, they needed that lead guard. to hold it down.
Yeah.
Till he gets, and then with Patrick McCaw getting hurt. So
yeah, absolutely.
Not to diminish anything that he's done.
Oh, yeah,
He's been above, you know, everything that they've looked for. He's shooting the ball well, running the team, not afraid to take the big shot. You can see it. So I think playing in national championship situations and big games throughout his time at Duke really helps him, because he doesn't look like the moments are too big.
Yeah. Averaging 17.4 a game in 14 games that he actually played, you know, while Steph was out. So got to give a shout out to Quinn Cook, obviously. Honorary guy, that's my guy, Duke guy, of course. And just found out that Minnesota's going to make Amil Jefferson, who's another Duke guy, a contract and make him eligible for the playoffs as well if
make it.
Yeah, so, you know, you always got to take advantage and continue to show up and follow your dream. It's just absolutely imperative that you do not give up. I mean, we can talk all day about this or that, because from where we started our radio show in the living room, I don't know what So, and we continue to do this thing, and we are 5 years in our fifth season. So, it is great to hear stories like this. And I was up all night watching Mr. Ingram and the things that he went gone through. So,
well, you know, the thing is too, it's preparation and opportunity.
Exactly. Right? Mm-hmm.
They got to meet together.
Yes.
And so if those guys are not prepared for those opportunities, just like you guys, you prepared yourself to be in this situation,
right,
to go farther. So when the preparation opportunity meet together, great things happen.
Yeah.
Because it's like you in a zone, man. I can't even explain it. You know, I've been there. I can speak on it because I experienced some of that. But this kid Ingram, man, to me, man, that's a whole different level.
Yes.
Because I mean, 10 years.
Yeah. So.
10 years, man, to stay there and to do that. And then he come and then he performed.
Yes.
He didn't just show up.
Yeah. Prepared.
He was preparation opportunity. He's prepared to perform.
Yep.
And so that's it. And like what you said, man, just you know, continue to dream, man, and focus on your dream. Focus on your dream, man.
Absolutely. We got to get ready to go to break in the first side. Before we go, we got a question on Facebook. Mo asks, will Joe Dumars get another job? Or when will Joe Dumars get another job?
To me, I don't think he needs one. When he passed on Melo for Darko Milicic, I was done with it.
The league was done with him.
Yeah.
At that point.
I'm pretty sure. So, Mo, don't think Joe going to be getting a job anytime soon. We just don't understand. Fizdale might be the hot name right now. So, we're going to roll with Fizdale. Don't know about Dumars, but... when we get back, we got some more NBA talk, and we got Bo Bell in the building. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew only on the Real 1100 AM and SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE. AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bo Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential.
What up, though? What up, though? It's your boy Tate's Take. Of course, none other than Deshaun Tate. I go by the Sports Debate Slayer and the Bracket Master. Hey, SRT, man. It gets no realer than this right here at the Real 1100 AM. My boy D Will, the coach, G Money, HO, Hancock. Make sure you stay right here, locked in. The Real 1100 AM, SRT, keeping it real funky.
This is the Real 1100 AM. More sports, more music, more things that matter. Giving you more of the Real. The Real.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G Money. Man with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? We're back. Sports Roundtable back in the building. Hour number two. HO, Hancock, Jay Smooth, G Money. In the building. We got a special guest coming up. If you was with us earlier, you already heard the voice. But before we get into that, I got to get into this NFL draft real quick. The worst draft pick for your team. And we're going to make this quick because the draft is coming up. So this is kind of honorary. when I first thought of this and I looked back, in 1988, did y'all know the Falcons had the number one overall pick?
Yep.
Did you know that?
Came out of one.
Jesus Christ. The worst pick ever. I mean, it could be 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. But to have the first overall pick, listen, Neil Smith went 2. Mm. Benny Blaze went 3. Tim Brown went 6. Sterling Sharp went 7. Michael Irvin went 11. Keith Jackson went 13. And let's just stop right there. The Falcons' worst draft pick ever, Andre Bruce.
You know why they picked him? They thought he was the next LT.
Yep. But
hasn't been an LT player since.
And he was the first. LT. He was the first AB.
But he wasn't. Remember what we just talked about? Pick a player that fits what you do. They tried to make him do other things instead of saying, look, there's a guy back there they're going to snap the ball to. Go get him every play.
Right.
That's all he should have been able to do. Not cover, not work ahead in the flat. Go hunt.
Go hunt.
If they just let him go hunt, he'd have been fine. Because that's what he could do. But you don't get a talent like that. He wasn't cerebral enough for that.
Overall, number one?
If they let him hunt, it might have been all right.
Yeah. All right, Han, go ahead. Let's make
Well, I misread what you said for your team, but
right.
I got
give me some.
The worst player I got is Ryan Leaf. In 98, Ryan Leaf seemed to be a Hall of Famer. Was in a 4-year span, this dude played for 4 different teams, and his quarterback touchdown to interception ratio was 14-36 with a passer rating of 50. And this was the player that was supposed to be on the level with Peyton Manning.
Awful.
So in 4 years he played for 4 different teams. Now Jamarcus Russell gets a lot of crap, but it's not quite, I mean, Ryan Leaf was pretty bad.
Yeah, I agree. Smooth, what you got?
The Titans have picked a lot of bad people over the years, but just one name that people know is actually Jake Locker, quarterback.
Pretty
good call.
Yeah. First round, top 10 pick, went 8th in 2011. Retired after 4 seasons. Only 23 games played in those 4 seasons. Threw 22 interceptions. Only completed 57% of his passes. And Mel Kiper, the draft aficionado, once said that he should have been the first overall pick that year. So, see how that worked out.
Yeah,
we don't listen to him. G, you got any?
Well, he's not the worst pick ever made, but it has haunted us ever since. Greg Ellis.
That's a
for the only reason and the only one I'm going to list is because we passed on Randy Moss.
Yep.
Wow.
And we're talking about the Cowboys. That was pretty bad. Hey, I'm surprised.
Nah, I misread your question.
Okay,
like
I got you.
I thought you were talking about just the worst bust.
Yeah, I got you. Well, I mean, all of them fit in that boat.
Yeah, I had a few.
Yeah, all of them.
You can look at that later if you want.
Yeah, Heath Shuler. It's plenty of them.
There's a bunch of Tony Mandridge.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Rick Meyer. Supposedly next Montana.
Yeah. Hey, Rudy could have just played quarterback then.
Yeah.
All right, man. It's time to get into some real NBA talk because we got a special guest in the building. And, G, let's jump into this sports roundtable discussion.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports Roundtable Discussion sponsored by Bo Bell Basketball. If you're looking for any enhancement, basketball enhancement, Bo Bell is your guy. Please go to BoBell.com, CoachBoBell.com, and get all of what you need. Feet work is key, is what he teach. And speaking of that, he is in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome our partner, our friend, Bo Bell.
What up, Bo Bell?
What's up, fellas? Always good to be here, man.
Yes.
Thank you guys, man. Thank you for having me here,
glad
man.
Glad to have you home.
Hey, listen, before we get started, you've been busy. Every time we talk, you're flying. You over here, you're over there. Let everybody know what's been going on with you, because I know you got some things popping off up in Gwinnett and downtown. So please give us what's going on with Bo Bell and how you out in the community helping the kids.
Well, you know, as you know, the Academy downtown, that's been in existence for probably about 15 years now.
There you go.
So we've built that. You know, it's been consistent where players are coming from all over. Just had a recent opportunity, I guess about a month ago, month and a half ago, to be the director at Swanee Sports Academy. So I have 7 NBA courts to work with now.
As Hello.
Opposed to, you know,
Hello.
Downtown, we just had one.
Hello.
So what that's going to do is going to, you know, help more kids, because we're going to be able to put them on teams now. You know, before I was developing them and sending them out. So we got teams. So I developed 11. We have 11 traveling teams from ages 4th grade to 11th grade. And we're going to build it. But the key is going to be, it's going to be different than what most people are doing and what most people are seeing. We're going to keep the development up front.
Mm.
So right now we don't have the best players, but we're going to have players that know how to play, and they're going to be developed. Next year, you know, once people know that we are there and see what we're doing and the level that we're doing, I think we're going to be able to attract a lot more very talented basketball players. But for the most part, it's just going to give us a bigger platform to help more, basically. That's what it is.
Okay. Now, if anybody want to get in touch with you, want to know how to be a part of the traveling team, or want to be a part of development downtown, give them the information that they need as far as contacting you or reaching out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to CoachBoBell.com, or you can call me direct. I like talking to you when you talk to me about your kids.
There you go.
You know, 770-912-4104. I don't mind giving you my number, because we're talking about your kid.
There
I take
go.
The Texas, but we're talking about your kids.
Hello.
Call me.
There it is. Hey, can't get no better than that. Bo Bell is in the house talking basketball with us tonight. And what better time to talk basketball other than the playoffs are coming up, and my first question would be, NBA playoffs, what is the difference in regular season basketball and playoff basketball, Bo, when it comes to executing and actually trying to win, in your opinion?
Well, I think you got two different leagues.
Okay.
Basically. You know, regular season, like, more so than ever, more teams are winning 50 and 60 games. It didn't used to be that way. We used to know exactly who it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, having said that, you know, these guys got guaranteed contracts. And I'm not saying they're taking plays off, but, you know, they be resting, preparing, you know, for the playoffs. So, it's like, so the playoff is a different deal. Defense, the intensity of everything just goes up. So the question I ask, why don't they play like that all the time?
Mm.
So when they get in the playoffs, they, you know, you win or you go home.
Right.
So you plan for something. As opposed to playing them games and you go to the next city, you know, that's a different deal. Okay, I played bad. Okay, I go to the next city. Okay, well, I hope I play good, play bad. It don't matter. You lose one, but you got a chance to win another in the next city. But if you lose in the playoff, you go home.
Right.
And the teams that's in the playoff that defend and that merge together and play collectively are the teams that normally go past and win championships.
Gotcha. We've been talking all week, well, over the last couple of weeks about the rookie talk. Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell. If you had a vote, who would you vote for Rookie of the Year?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go back to what you guys touched on earlier, man. It's like that's a co-vote right there to me, man. Because what it's going to do, because it's business too now.
Right.
Because Utah, that market, think about what that's going to do for their market, having that guy there. Then you got Philly, that market. They're trying to build both of those markets.
Right.
So it's just going to enhance what the NBA is trying to do as a whole if they make both of those guys co-MVP. I mean, co-winners.
Co-Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, co-Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. What do you like about Donovan's game, and then what do you like about Ben Simmons' game?
Well, what I like about Ben, and people talk about he can't shoot. I hear that sometimes. I mean, I think he can shoot. He just don't shoot because he's processing the game totally different than most.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's 6'10", and he's looking over guys that's shorter who's guarding him. So he's seeing something totally different. He's seeing guys getting wide open layups, so he don't have to shoot.
Okay.
See what I mean? So that's what I like about him the most. And the other thing that I like about him, he's a real team player. He's a real team player. I mean, he's team at heart, and he can do everything. He can rebound. He blocks shots.
Except shoot free throw.
Yeah, well, yeah, shoot, but yeah, we took it out. but then the other guy at Utah, what I like about him, he's a pure athlete, first of all, but he's a gifted talent.
Yeah.
He's a gifted talent. Like, some guys, like God, say, whoo, that's yours?
That's
one of them, man.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
So let's talk about this, though, when we talk about Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, we all voted or will vote for our Rookie of the Year. And, you know, we all have our different points and things of that nature. But I want to ask you this. And I saw last night where the Sixers were in town and playing the Hawks. Hawks not really playing nobody. I mean, most of the starters are sitting. So basically the G League and other, you know, second-tier players are playing. But they fought and, you know, they playing, I guess, you know, they trying not to, do the tankathon thing real bad. But are we concerned about Ben Simmons having the ball at the end of the game and he have to get rid of it because he can't get to the line and shoot free throws? Is that a concern?
Well, he's such a great talent. No, it's not. Just like, you know, Dwight Howard couldn't shoot free throws. Shaq couldn't shoot free throws.
But Ben Simmons is your point guard.
Yeah.
He got to have the ball and –
I hear what you're saying. It's still not a concern
because
he does so much more for his team. You know what I mean? And I don't know at the end of the game. I mean, but at some point, because he don't have a bad-looking shot.
I agree.
And I just think free throw shooting is mental and rhythm. That's what it's about. I think once he get there and take the pressure off himself, because he's missed so many free throws,
Well, you know, the more you miss, the basket gets smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
Psychologically. So now once he get in there and he just starts shooting that thing and open that basket up.
Can we tweet him your hashtag?
Hey, man, come see Coach Bobel.
I know you don't like changing the shot. I wouldn't change much on his other than bringing his elbow from here. And you can't see me on the radio, but his elbow is flying out to the side right. on his shot
right.
instead of underneath the basket.
The L.
It's not underneath the basketball for right. the release. And that's, to me, that's the biggest problem I have with how he's shooting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about seeing the floor, mm-hmm. there were possessions, because I watch them a lot when they're on the television, and just the little things you can see, like when Embiid was playing, or might even been the other big guy,
Holmes.
No, the other center that's playing right now. Well, it's irregardless, whatever. He had posted up,
uh-huh.
and Simmons was right, I guess, elbow extended, or maybe almost out to the timeline. But he can make a pass directly over the defense. See, that's one thing he has that a normal point guard has to try to find an angle. And what he benefits from, what LeBron benefits from, what Antetokounmpo benefits from, is that they're able to pass over smaller defenders, which allows them not only a bounce pass to the right, bounce pass to the left, or a chest pass, they can go directly overhead. So it gives them an extra passing lane. Mm-hmm. And he can pick up an extra assist so easily mm-hmm. that, you know, it makes him seem like a lot of times people say, well, he doesn't play hard. Well, when you're, like I said, some things, you got that.
Right.
And height and being able to see the floor was given to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of his things that accentuates his game.
Mm.
So, you know, people look at it and say he doesn't play hard. It just, some things, they come easier.
Right.
Pass into the post, mm-hmm. it's easier for a big guy. Magic did it.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Well, I always use a scenario, right? You know, like when you go and you finna get glasses, right? And you take the eye test, right? And they bring that thing close to you and it's smaller. So, and then when they bring it and all of a sudden it's clear, it's like he's looking over
the defense.
So
right.
it's clear. So he don't see anything. And the other good thing about him, he's processing different. Like he's like two plays before ahead, which is crazy. Not only is he looking over, he's processing two plays ahead. And that, to me, is a gift.
Yeah.
Like some players are gifted with that. If not, everybody would be doing it.
Everybody would yeah. be doing it. Exactly.
So.
LeBron had some, I can't remember the game. Was it against Philly? Yeah.
It was yeah. Philly.
Against Philly, they were down
30.
Down 30,
3. 30 plus.
You're talking about when he came.
When they came back.
When they came back, they were down 30 plus.
30 plus.
And this was, I guess, with like a 2-4 seconds left on the clock.
Right. So this is the thing. They when they was down 30, LeBron turned up.
Took over,
right? Almost shut Twitter down. You hear me, Bo? Almost shut Twitter down. LeBron is amazing. Look at the king. I told you LeBron is the GOAT. And boy, I'm talking about everybody going nuts. Ends up with 44 points. Almost won the game. He gets fouled on a 3-point shot. With 0.24 seconds.
Point one something
left in the game.
It was like 2 seconds.
Two seconds left in the game.
Shouldn't have been a shooting foul.
But he's LeBron.
Well, he's a superstar.
Okay.
And that's that superstar call. And we'll right. talk about that later going into the playoffs.
Right.
Go ahead.
He gets fouled, goes to the line. They are down 3 because LeBron has brought him back. He missed.
Knocks down the first.
Down 2. 2 to tie the game, send it to overtime possibly. Misses the second. So he got to miss the third one to try to get a rebound. Didn't happen. The question is, should we talk about how great he is to bring him back? Or how he did not close because he's LeBron.
What? One thing. I think a lot of people overlooked. There were maybe two plays before that foul going out of bounds.
Right.
There was a 2-on-1 going down on Cleveland's end. It was LeBron and J.R. Smith. Instead of LeBron making the fundamentally sound play, driving and kicking the ball to J.R. or, you know, drawing contact, LeBron pulls back and shoots the three. And they were down, I think they were down at three at that point.
Right.
That would have brought the game within one.
Right.
So I think people forget about that play for a guy who's, you know, who's been lauded as the best player on the planet. Yeah, best player on the planet.
Right now.
Great of all time.
Right.
Very savvy, very high IQ driven player. He made the wrong play in those last few minutes. And Hancock used to talk about it a long time ago. He approaches the line with a certain anxiety. Like, it's almost as if.
I don't want to be here.
Right. I don't want to be here. And you said, I forgot your quote, but like, he's like, I'm the king. I'm supposed to hit these. Yeah, I'm supposed to make these free throws.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Being compared to all the greats, and you come up to those situations, now I'm putting added pressure on myself because I'm supposed to do what Kobe did in the crunch. I'm supposed to hit these shots. Michael wouldn't miss these.
Right.
So I think it's a lot because he's not a bad shooter. But I think some moments get to be too big for him. But Hodge, you do have to talk about him missing those shots. I agree with that.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it goes along
with
what I'm
saying. But
ain't
nobody talking about it.
It goes along with what I'm saying and what I think will eventually be the downfall of this team this year. He has to put up 40 double-figure rebounds, double-figure assists, steals, everything in order for them to win. And it's just going to be too much. I just don't think he'll be able to. He doesn't have a Robin this year like he needs. Don't get me wrong. I think Love is a good one. But you could turn it over to Kyrie. And he ain't there right now.
Right.
He doesn't have a guy. He can say, go ahead for these next 15 whatever possessions and keep us in the game or push the lead. And I think that's what's going to be a detriment. But back to your original point, yeah, you do have to talk about it because, you know, he's got the – when you put the onus on yourself, you walk into Madison Square Garden and you put I'm King on the back of your shoes, everything's fair game.
Everything's fair game.
Because you said it. You putting it out there.
Yep.
So, hey, if people have to discuss it.
All right, Bo.
Well, you know – I just want to put it in perspective with this guy, man. Like, after 15 years, we still have him in the conversation as the best player in the world. And after being in all the championship games and dealing with all the comparison, the pressure that goes along with that position, I'm a fan of the guy because I know how hard it is to do what he do, man. You can only imagine the pressure. Pressure can bust a pipe. Just think about it would do somebody's head. And so when I don't judge him by one game or two games, when I look at him, I see greatness. Bottom line, I see greatness. I mean, you look at his career, 15 years, and we still saying that this guy is the best player in the world? When has that happened? So just that alone, you know, like some of the things, everything that happened from this point on, for me, is really is irrelevant. I'm gonna be honest with you because he has done so much for this league, and the teams that he had with less talent, and the guys that he's gotten big contracts just by playing with him. You know what I mean? So I'm a fan of the guy, man. At the end of the day, I mean, and I know everybody has their ups and downs, and he has his faults, but overall, as a person that he is, as a family man as he is, what he has done for the league, and how people be taking shots at him and he's handling all of that, man, my hat's off to this cat, man. I don't have nothing to say bad about LeBron James, man, because I look at the whole picture. I don't judge him by one game or two games in playoff. And I understand from a fan perspective how it should be, but I'm looking at the overall picture, the man, you know, the basketball player. And when you put all that together, look what you got. We can compare him to Kobe. We can compare him to Michael. But let's compare him to LeBron.
Look at this guy's legacy that he's already built. He can stop right now and be a Hall of Famer. Everybody remember who he
is. Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, ain't no doubt.
So that's always been my position with this cat, man, because of how much he's done for the league and his teams and players around him and the people around him.
Yeah.
The people around him. He elevated the people around him.
Right.
So to me, that's bigger than any wins. I just see things just a little bit different.
That's I got you. No doubt about it. Yeah. But, you know, people go talk.
I just think you have to talk about everything.
Yeah, you got to talk about everything.
Because he makes it when you say you're the best. Yeah, see, right. that's the one thing about LeBron is that he has to be he has to say it. I'll take this through this whole to my grave. He tried to average a triple-double because Russ did it last year.
Right.
And he said, okay, so you get accolades for that. Okay, let me show you. I can do that with no problem. If Mickey Mantle said the same thing about hitting home runs. If I knew it was going to be that, I'd hit more home runs.
Right.
If I was going to get all these accolades. And LeBron needs to be the focal point. He needs to be the show. He did it with Steph when Steph was getting the shine. What happened when he dunked on Steph? Steph was his boy. But when he dunked on Steph, all in his face, you know, blocking his shot, all that kind of stuff. He needs to be king.
Yeah.
He just does.
And I think that the free throw percentage will continue to hunt. No one is disputing the talent. No one is disputing the talent. Obviously, you can't. But when you have people seeing the anxiety that you go through at the free throw line, maybe there's he spends an enormous amount of money to train in the summer to do all these other stuff. One of those things may need to be going down to Bo Bell Basketball Academy and getting on their free throw line. Because no one disputes that. But the one thing I know I can hang my hat on is that if you put me on the free throw line, it's going down. They free!
Yeah,
free throw.
They free.
Free throw at the basket.
They free. Yeah. And you know, obviously, I don't have the pressure that LeBron would have, but you got to knock those down.
You got to knock those down.
Especially when you say you're the best.
No doubt about it.
That's the point. Yeah. That he says.
Yeah. Now.
Chosen one.
Yeah, he said it. Now, let's go into some other, Isaiah Thomas, former Piston Hall of Famer, said basically same thing you said, you know, about LeBron. He said he would take LeBron over Jordan today. Pippen responded
Did
by.
Did you say that?
I didn't say that.
No.
He
said what you said about LeBron. And that's it. Okay. What you said about LeBron, the accolades that you gave LeBron, same thing Isaiah said. Moving on, Isaiah said he would take
LeBron
over Jordan. Pippen comes back and responds and says, in no game, I'm taking LeBron over Jordan.
But didn't Pippen kind of say something opposite a little while ago when he said LeBron was a better player?
I heard him say that too.
He said that.
But so it sounds like now let's go from the Zeke point. Is Zeke still salty from the Olympics?
He's salty because of a lot of stuff with Jordan, no doubt about it.
Is he still salty from the Olympics?
I think so because you got to remember at that time, Zeke was one of the top players in the game.
Ain't no doubt.
He's salty about the Olympics. He's salty about the 91 Eastern Conference Finals when they got swept.
And he walked off in this.
He's salty about Jordan taking over Chicago because that's where Zeke is from.
The
salt.
With Zeke, I ain't mean for you to put him out there like that. My goodness. You got a point.
That Olympic thing was bad, though.
But when people make
Stockton over him, come on. When John Stockton goes over Isaiah Thomas, you don't even have to say anything else. Ooh, come on, man. Stockton, he cannot hold Isaiah's job. Come on, man.
All right, Bo.
Well, you know what? I think, like, when we make those comparisons, like, a lot of people make the comparison with Jordan. I mean, yeah, Jordan and LeBron.
to me, right, Jordan is the greatest until somebody proved different. And what I mean by that, Jordan is one of the only players that got led the league in scoring and got defensive player of the year. Case closed.
Case closed. End of story.
End of story. Can't say no more.
Well, I can add to that. Jordan, before Jordan won a ring, it was a big man's game.
Yes, definitely was.
Right?
Thought of as a center. He had to have a center to win the title.
Am I right?
No doubt.
Jordan won the rings without
a dominant center.
A dominant center. Mm-hmm. So Jordan's, did he get offended by that?
Who did?
Jordan.
Get offended by
saying that you need a dominant center to win.
No, he got offended by not being able to beat Boston and LA. And when he got his chance and he said enough is enough, the rest of his pups grew up.
Yeah.
And that was it. When he decided, when he got to that level. Now, I wish it would have been the Showtime Lakers at the time when the Showtime Lakers still.
Yeah. Showtime.
Then we would have had something fierce.
Yeah.
Because it showed that before, you know, and it took them a while before they got to the real Bulls. But Detroit and Boston were beasts that in the East at that time. Yeah, you know, and you could go down the line. There were other teams that played well. New York had a good team. Philly had a good team. You know, Milwaukee had a good team with the Johnson boys. They could play. And Sidney Moncrief and all those guys before that. So
Junior Bridges.
Yeah, those teams played basketball at a different level. This was a different game back then. It was more physical.
Yep.
But they had Lanier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Junior Brisman. Exactly. Brian Winters. Sidney Moncrief.
That's them.
Yeah, I'm telling my age.
So all those teams. I mean, but we saw them play. I mean, those were teams that you had to go through.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't just the two-team race like we see in the West with Golden State and Houston where you say, okay, those two are going. It gets a little skewed because at the end of the day, Boston and L.A., were in a lot of the title championship series, you know. So it still looked like it was lopsided. But, you know, I just think it was a more rounded league at that time.
And it was. But at the same time, you touched on it. It's two different eras of play.
Yeah.
Right? You back then, the way that they played, it was totally different than now. You know, the game is more perimeter-oriented
right
now. Back then, the game was played inside out. And it was more physical, as you said.
Very physical.
So you can't really touch these guys a lot, you know. And that's why it's very important that they be able to shoot free throws. Got to shoot free throws. So in terms of that, the guys back then, to me, had stronger mindsets. They had stronger mind. You had to, because when you take those hits, right, and you're still going, that makes you tougher. But if nobody is touching you, and you can just flow and just play. That's why these guys scoring so many points. I ain't never seen that many guys score that many points. I mean, I know it's a different era, but, like, guys getting 50, 60 all the time.
Well, but when you run a break and you run to the three-point line instead of running and trying to get a layup in the basket on a three-on-one break, you see a three-on-one break now, somebody's spotting up at the three.
Yep. Steph Curry.
So there is – well, he's changed the game. If any – you have – certain players that their era that they changed the game. Yeah. You talked about Jordan changing the game from a big man's game to the wing player, small guy. Steph Curry has changed basketball.
Right.
Because if you can't stretch the floor now, you have a hard time winning in this league.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It just is what it is.
Yep.
You have to be able to have shooters that can make the defense expand.
And you know what? And you guys was talking on something earlier about that's one of the reasons why so many coaches, it's like a Ferris wheel, is because they can't adapt to today's type players.
Yeah.
They want those guys to play the old way.
Old way.
You know what I mean? And I these are different type style of players right now. And if you can't adapt to those players, then you're going to be out the door, man.
Right.
And you can't communicate and adapt to those players. I'm going to tell you who does that very well, the coach at D'Antoni.
Yeah.
At Houston, he adapt to the style of the day because the league is constantly evolving. It's evolving.
Well, right. He was ahead of it, if you recall it. Yeah. He was ahead of the evolution because he had Nash and got Joe Johnson paid. Yeah.
Right.
Because Joe was in that first line where you run to the corner. Well, we can go back a little farther with Don Nelson doing the same thing, too. Don Nelson did that with with Ron TMC back in Golden State back in the day. But I think D'Antoni with Nash kind of opened it up to where you saw it was outside in.
Yeah, I agree.
So he was kind of ahead, and now you're right. But until they've kind of figured some kind of way to play this defense, or you got to have long athletic guys that can go inside out to defend it. You got to be able to go from inside out to defend. You got to have the length to contest and the length to get back and get in passing lanes.
And that's why we say it's going to be a positionless lead.
Exactly.
It's not going to be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's going to be your best five against my best five.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. When we got to take a real quick break. When we get back, we're going to run over some of these NBA scenarios just to give you an update. Philly has beat Milwaukee 46-18 at the end of the first quarter. 46-18, and Minnesota is up on Denver 36-34. Listen, Sports Roundtable, SRTRadio.com. We'll be right back.
They might not need him, be back.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
Tune your radio.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's the Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today.
What's up? My name is Marquise Kiki Hicks, assistant men's basketball coach at Point University. When I get my sports fix, I listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on AM 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
Sports Roundtable, back at you. Finishing up, we got some NBA scenarios going on right now. Minnesota, Denver, the play-in game. The winner gets in, the loser leaves. Bo, who you got in that game? Minnesota, Denver is at Denver. I mean, at Minnesota. Minnesota is up 5 right now. What are you liking that?
I like Minnesota. I just like that young talent, man. I just think the coach is not a good fit. You know what I mean? The talent is there. It's just that it's not working because for whatever reason he can't get those guys to gel together consistently.
Consistently, yeah.
And I can go back to what you guys said earlier too. Sam Mitchell was a good fit for those guys. All they had to do is be patient with that process.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so.
I agree. Yep. Jay, who you got in that? Who you like in that Minnesota Denver game?
Yeah, well, it's in Minnesota, so I'll give them that slight edge. I'll take Minnesota.
Take Minnesota. Coming up later on tonight, we got Utah at Portland fighting for that third seed.
Right.
Utah coming off a 40-point win, you know, against Golden State. They got to travel to Portland to see if they can pull out this win. Han, how do you see that game?
I think the home court is going to be the deciding factor in this. I think having to go, you know, playing Utah last night and then having to travel to play Portland tonight in Portland is going to be the edge for Portland. I think Dame, especially at home, will come up with a big game. I think you'll probably see a good game out of Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
but I just think that home court is going to be a little bit too much for Utah to overcome tonight.
And a loss here might not be bad, actually, because if you lose, you can get on the side of the bracket with Houston and who is it? Houston, New Orleans, and maybe the winner of Minnesota and Denver. So if you lose, I don't think you're in a bad spot.
And you still get a home court.
Exactly. Yeah, because on the other side, you're likely to see Golden State and OKC, possibly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
See, that OKC thing is the key to me. And I think the key, when you talk about scenarios, the key was for Golden State to avoid Oklahoma City in the first round without Steph. I don't think that would have been a good matchup for Golden State without Steph. Even though they did beat Oklahoma City, I think, like 2-3 weeks ago at OKC.
Yeah.
They went in and, you know, I think Melo and Paul George both had subpar games.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, to me, the best thing that happens for Golden State is if they avoid Oklahoma City in the first round.
Mm. Yep. Then you got San Antonio and New Orleans playing. They are tied for
fifth and sixth.
Yeah. And New Orleans is up 40-37 now. Bo, how do you see this game going, and who takes this one? They're at New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this particular game experience is going to play a role. I really do, because, you know, the Spurs didn't have done that so many times, and they understand, you know, what these games mean more so than, I think, New Orleans because of their experience. So I think the Spurs would be a good choice to win this game.
I just want to add with the matchups that you mentioned here, as far as Denver-Minnesota, the winner could possibly slide into the number 7 slot to face the Warriors in the first round.
Mm.
With San Antonio, New Orleans, I guess the money is on New Orleans to lose. They would fall to 8, and they would play Houston in the first round.
Ooh.
And the Spurs would move up to 6 and play most likely Portland in the first round.
The winner is the winner of the Portland and Jazz game. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Right. The winner of that moves up to the third seed.
Right.
And they if the Jazz lose, they most likely fall to number 5.
And they will play the 4 team.
And they play the 4 seed, which could be the which will likely be the Thunder.
Okay.
And if the Blazers lose, they would fall to number 4. And play number 5, which would still be the Jazz. So they would play the Jazz again and avoid the Spurs. I think the Spurs would beat the Blazers. Wow.
It's awesome for it to come down to the last game. Yeah.
NBA doing its thing on that. Bo, I do got to ask you about Kawhi Leonard. He's not played this year. They've been rumbles about he's trying to get out. Some pressure maybe. Got a second opinion about his groin. Hamstring, whichever one it is.
I thought it was a quad.
Quad, yeah. Same, yeah. It's in his leg somewhere. But if he leaves, what's your best fit for Kawhi?
The best fit for Kawhi.
You said Atlanta? That's what you said?
Oh, yeah. No. We take all we can get, baby.
I know that's right. But I'm sorry, but go ahead.
No. We take all we can get. You know what?
Now the system is the same in Atlanta, right?
Well, yeah, but this guy, he's so multifaceted, right?
Right.
No matter where he goes and play, he's going to be productive. So I think he can add 2 more years on LeBron's. I'm just rolling it out there.
I think he has
2 more years on LeBron.
Well, where
if both of them go to LA, I'm kidding.
All right, Smooth. Where do you think Kawhi would fit best? I've heard rumors about Boston.
That's where it is.
Cleveland. Hadn't heard the Hawks yet, but I mean that's another thing. He's from LA. So, I mean, your thoughts on Kawhi in his best fit?
I think he, you know, obviously he wants to be paired with another star or two. And this, I'm just looking at the scores. And this team popped out, the Wizards.
Mm.
I think he would be a good fit with the Wizards. John Wall, he's proven to be pretty selfless in his time, as well as Bradley Beal. I think they could use some mental fortitude because they've been – but heck, I called him Jekyll and Hyde. They've been one of those teams all year. But a guy like Kawhi Leonard, he could bring some stability and he could bring a legit scorer and defender. And, you know, he doesn't talk, but I think his leadership, he's more of a quiet leader than anything. So maybe the Wizards.
All right, Han.
Yeah, I think it's – Boston has their sights set on 2 guys, I believe, and that's AD or Kawhi. and they have the assets to make something happen. You know, with the they're kind of bulky at that position of that three with Brown and Tatum. And they have draft picks. So I think they could put together a package that could entice New Orleans or San Antonio.
And throw Al Horford in there.
Yeah, and I could see him going to one of those
Listen at the GM.
Well, I mean, seriously, I mean, you could put GM, that back. It's got to be where you can match the money or have something of value that another franchise wants to get, you know, get.
Go ahead.
Just one last thing. Hancock mentioned him probably a couple weeks ago, the kid for San Antonio, DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
He looks like he might be special. He looks like he could be
a good player for them.
Yeah.
He's got to work on his offensive game a little bit more. But the length, I've seen him when he played against Steph. He presented so many problems because of his length.
Mm-hmm.
And he's able to take a smaller guard in the paint and score on him.
Right.
So if he can stretch the floor a little bit, learn how to shoot a little bit better, he's going to be a nice point guard in the West.
Wow. Well, when you see the new style guys, I call it the new wave of players, and when they play the old style way, that's a special player.
Yeah.
When you get those younger players that play the old style way in today's game, he becomes a special player.
They say, can we get a big name in Atlanta? G, Kawhi, best fit. Who you got?
Well, I actually have a clip here of where Kawhi prefers to play next year.
You got a clip?
Yeah.
You want to? Okay, well.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, wow.
That's a good one, G. That's a good one. Hey, can we talk about Golden State?
You can talk about Golden State. Go ahead real quick, because I got something for Bobert real quick.
You know, for years I've heard how Golden State has four superstars. And I've railed against that. You know, I've told you. Mm-hmm. Nobody was checking for Draymond. Nobody was checking for Klay. Nobody was checking for Steph.
Right.
And they now have, since they play together as a good basketball team in their system, allows them to be great within the system, they've been elevated to superstar players.
Can I stop it real quick? Now, this is the same thing that I was saying about San Antonio with Parker, Ginobili,
and Duncan. That a lot. Right.
Because they were saying, he played with Hall of Famers. No. But they weren't Hall of Famers when they started.
That's my point.
So go ahead.
Everybody talks about, well, those three, now you're putting KD in there. They should be just fine. Well, KD doesn't orchestrate the system as Steph does.
Nope.
What Steph does is allow the whole defense to have to expand. Because when he steps across half court, you have to honor Steph. Mm-hmm. So now, when he's running off screens and doing his thing, everybody eyes on like, okay, I see him coming off the screen. I got to be able to help, which allows Draymond more room to operate. Draymond was a second-round pick for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good – he's above-average basketball player. Mm. But he's not a superstar basketball player.
Right.
And quit – if they got to quit lumping him into that.
Yeah.
The system and what Steph does allows Klay and Draymond to elevate and become
great. Statuses
exactly.
To elevate.
Exactly. Mm. And without Steph, you see that Golden State is limited.
Right.
They are. Now, they still have a superstar score in Durant, but Durant's looks aren't as free as they were when Steph's on the court.
Nope, I agree. All right, I appreciate you telling me, saying that, because that is big. But I got something for you, Bobert. We developed some rapid-fire questions for you. And I want you to participate. We got five questions in 30 seconds, so we got to be quick. You got possibly 6 seconds per question to answer. You don't know what the questions are, I'm gonna read them off to you, and G, you go give me 30 seconds on the clock, right? So you ready? You might have to buzz the music down a little bit so Bo Bell can hear my questions. I want to make sure he don't say.
Do I get a practice question?
No. Just use your free throw form.
Follow through.
Yeah, follow through. All right, let me know when you're ready, G.
All right, so how much time does he get?
30 seconds.
All right.
You ready, Bo?
Let's go.
Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right. Your favorite day of the week?
Friday.
Would you rather have an NBA title or be in the NBA Hall of Fame?
Hall of Famer.
Your favorite wrestler growing up?
Andre the Giant.
The best invention, cell phone or internet?
Internet.
Would you rather be a dunker or a three-point shooter?
Complete basketball player. No. Three-point shooter.
Three-point shooter. All right. My man. My man. I like that.
Like that.
Yeah. All right. Got one more for him. So put 30 more seconds on the clock.
All right.
Seemed to like that. All right. Let me know when you're ready, Bo.
Let's go.
All right. Pitcher, quarterback, point guard.
Point guard.
The person you want taking the last shot for your team.
Point guard.
The person.
Oh, Michael Jordan.
As a kid, who was your celebrity crush?
Magic.
Celebrity crush as a female.
Ooh, man, that's tough. Pam Grill.
Okay. Waffle or pancakes?
Diversity. No. Waffle.
Waffle. A hidden talent no one knows you have.
Mindset.
Oh boy. Hey, sometimes you gotta have a little fun with it. But during the playoffs coming up, give me your team to look out for.
I think the most dangerous team that's out there right now, today, you gotta watch out for Utah.
My man. All right, Han.
Boy, that's tough. I think Philly.
Philly?
Yeah.
You've been riding with him. Smooth.
Cleveland Cavaliers.
G.
I can never count the Spurs out.
Look out for the Spurs.
Look out for them.
I want to roll with Utah, but I think I'm going to roll with the Spurs with this. It's playoff time. The best coach. So, hey, I just think that it is what it is when it comes to San Antonio. It's just that. Want to shout out Bo Bell for coming through.
Hey, my man. Yeah. Man. What's up? Hey, man, that hidden talent is, man, I like to cook.
There it is. I be seeing your posts on Facebook, too, how you be posting the thing. But thanks for coming through. Thanks, Facebook Live. Thanks, all of the loyal listeners. And thanks for everybody for tuning in. And Smooth, thanks for you coming in and, man, doing your thing. I really appreciate it. Any shout outs, Bo?
Hey, man, shout out to all you guys, man. And then also everybody in the ATL, man. Shout out.
All right, Han.
Shout out to the fam, Facebook listeners. Follow your boy on Twitter, Sports Superhero. I guess that's about it.
G.
Shout out to my mom and dad, Mr. Controversy, Marnisha, Arturo, whoever shared the video from our Facebook page.
There you go. All right, Smooth.
Shout out to the entire crew, Coach Bo Bell. Appreciate you coming in as always. The Tenants. Can't forget about the Tenants.
Can't forget the Tenants.
Yeah, all SRT fans. And that's it for me.
All right, man. Again, if you don't like, you better learn to love it, because the SRT is the hottest thing going today. All right, Han. Let's roll with it.
Boogie. I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
It's your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms. R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
If you didn't,
you so bivy.
And we out.